Okay, for our scripture reading this morning, we're going to the New Testament book of Hebrews. Hebrews, and if you're not familiar with how the books are arranged in your Bible, it's New Testament. And Hebrews is a 13-chapter book towards the back of your Bible. And we're going to go to chapter 4. And I am going to read the first 11 verses of that book. The book of Hebrews. We don't know exactly who wrote the book of Hebrews, but we know who it was written to. It was written to Hebrews. Very good. That was an easy one. That's right. Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse number 1. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning for these 11 verses. And God's word says this: Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will never enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. Let's pray. Wow, Father, that's a lot of scripture. And that's some pretty deep scripture. That's some pretty deep truths there, Lord. So, Father, here's my prayer this morning. I pray that I can explain this so that each and every one of us in here this morning can understand it perfectly. So, Lord, that is my prayer. I hide behind the cross. And I really ask for your help here this morning. And I ask this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. This is week number 11 in our sermon series on the Ten Commandments. We took a two-week break last week and the week before for like an Easter break. And now we're going to return back to the Ten Commandments, kind of where we left off. And that would be right in the middle of studying the fourth commandment. And some of you might be asking, does it take 11 weeks to get through four commandments? Yes, it does. And it's going to take a whole lot longer to get through the next six after that, I guarantee you. So the fourth commandment. That's because we don't want to leave any stone unturned, right? We want to do this right. We want to make sure we grasp it all. The fourth commandment from Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11 says this, and this is found on the inside of your bulletin, and it's the NASB version, which is the New American Standard Bible version. And it says this: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. "Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." I shared with you the last time, this would have been 3 weeks ago, how my neighbor scolded me that Sunday afternoon because I was mowing my lawn. He made sure he knew to tell me, "Mike, aren't you a pastor?" And he actually pointed that finger at me when he did it. So I asked three questions, and these are the three questions, not to him, but to the congregation here. Number one, was I wrong for mowing my lawn on a Sunday afternoon? Question number two, is it possible to come up with a good enough excuse why I could mow my lawn on a Sunday afternoon? Kind of reminds me of my Catholic days when we would have special dispensation, when we could eat bologna sandwiches on a Friday. Question number three, does it really make any difference to a new covenant Christian today if I mow on a Sunday or not? Can we work on Sunday? Well, that's what we're going to answer and finish up today. What did we learn three Sundays ago? We learned these four things. Number one, the word Sabbath comes from the original Hebrew word, which is the word Shabbat, which means to cease or to end or to rest. Second thing we learned, the Jewish Sabbath is the period of time from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. The third thing we learned from Exodus 31, 12 through 17, it taught us that the Sabbath was a sign to the Israelites that God was the one who sanctified them. God was the one who set them apart. God was the one who chose them as a nation. And he wanted to make sure that they knew that it was him who did that. And then the fourth thing, Deuteronomy 5, 12 through 15, taught us that the purpose of the Sabbath was for the Israelites to remember that God was the one who delivered them from the bondage of slavery from the Egyptians. So in this fourth commandment, as was given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai, God wanted the Israelites to take one day out of seven, and that seventh day would be called a Sabbath, to rest and remember him as, one, the one who set them apart and chose them as his chosen people, and two, the one who delivered them from the bondage of slavery from the Egyptians. He didn't suggest that they do this. He commanded that they do this, that they rest and that they remember. That every seventh day, they'll rest and remember who God is. So if we apply what we have concluded so far about this fourth commandment to my Sunday mowing scolding example, personally, I feel very convinced that I'm innocent, and I am in the clear. Well, why can I say that? Well, I say that for this reason. Because I was not mowing my lawn from sundown on Friday night through sundown on Saturday night. I was not mowing on the Sabbath. So I feel like I'm in the clear. However, there comes another dilemma. I run into a more serious problem. Saturday is my only day off, and I do many work-related chores on Saturday before sundown. So, if this fourth commandment is still valid according to its original intent, don't do any work on the Sabbath, you Sabbath, I promise you that I break the Sabbath each and every weekend. And I'll bet you do too. Do you work? Do any kind of work on Saturday? So we must look at this whole thing called Sabbath in a different way because we need to ask the right questions. And we're going to ask these two questions to help clarify this. Number one, is there a new covenant command that for me to obey the Sabbath as written in the scriptures, as in Exodus? But more importantly, question number two, has the Sabbath for a Christian been changed to Sunday? Let's answer question number one first. Is there a new covenant command for me to obey the Sabbath? Quick answer, no, there is not. And I want to go to three different scriptures to help prove that answer, that no, there is not a new covenant command for me to obey the Sabbath as is outlined in Exodus chapter 20. The first one is Colossians chapter 2, 16 through 17. And all of these scriptures I have listed in your bulletin, if you want to make any notes or not, you can. This passage from Colossians is also on the front of your bulletin. And the passage says this, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Now let's think about this here a second. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the church at Colossae. The church of Colossae, at Colossae, is made up of both Jews and Gentiles. The Jews, well, they know all about the Sabbath. It was part of the Mosaic Law. The Gentiles, who are part of this church, they don't know anything about the Sabbath because they come from a pagan background and they're not familiar with the Mosaic Law at all. So if keeping the Sabbath was going to be an imperative and a command to this thing called the church, don't you think that this would have been a golden opportunity for the Apostle Paul to instruct them to do just that? Why didn't he write, hey, the Jews got it right. They observed the Sabbath, and all you Gentile believers, you got to come on board. But he doesn't do that. As a matter of fact, he says just the opposite. Paul tells the church that festivals and new moon celebrations and Sabbath days, they're now null and void. But he does go on to say this, that they were a shadow of things to come and that the reality is found in Christ. What does that mean? What does that mean that they were a shadow of things to come and that the reality is found in Christ? Well, that leads us to our scripture in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 that I read a little bit earlier. And I'm going to read verses 9 through 11 of that passage from Hebrews one more time because we're going to get a better idea what this means. It says this, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. To better understand this passage from Hebrews, let's review one more time real quick. What was the Old Testament purpose of the Sabbath? It was for the Israelites to remember that God was the one who delivered them from the bondage of slavery, right? We come to that conclusion. They were slaves in Egypt. He released them from the bondage, and they were to rest and remember that. So now I'm going to ask all of you people here in this sanctuary here this morning a series of rhetorical questions, okay? What's a rhetorical question? It's a question with an obvious answer. Question number one. Before you were saved, turn back the hands of time. Before you were saved, what was your plan of salvation? How were you going to get to heaven? And I know the answer to that. The same way I was going to get to heaven. I was going to do what? I was going to work my way there. You had to work your way there. You had to earn it through merit and through accomplishment, which means that your way of salvation and my way of salvation were the same. We were going to work our way towards that goal of getting to heaven. Question number two for us. Who accomplished all the necessary work for you and me to be saved? Give you a hint. He hung on a cross and he rose from the grave. Jesus Christ accomplished all the work. Question number three. We're getting somewhere here now. This is good. Now that you and I are saved, Do we have to work any longer towards earning our salvation? Give you a hint. No. 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 Why not? Because all the necessary work for your salvation and for my salvation is complete. It's been done. When Jesus hung on the cross, he said 7 different things, and one of them was this. It is what? Finished. It's finished. The work is done. It's been finished. You and I can now rest from any work that we may have tried to do to earn our salvation. So the reality now is this thing called rest, and this is what Hebrews is talking about. This rest is now found in Christ. He is our rest. He is now our Sabbath. The fourth commandment, according to Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, was a sign. And it was a sign to the Israelites to let them know that they are God's chosen people. And it's a sign to us today that we know that we, the church, believers, Christians, we are also God's chosen people. And we have been adopted into his family, this family of called the church. The fourth commandment, according to Exodus, had a purpose. The purpose was for the Israelites to remember that they were in bondage to Egyptian slavery. Were we in slavery? Maybe not to Egyptians, but we were slaves to what? Sin. We were slaves to sin. And it was Jesus Christ who delivered us from that slavery. We might not have had physical chains on us, but we had chains that were a whole lot worse. And we were slaves to sin. And we now rest in the one who has his claim on us, the one who has delivered us from that slavery. And that, my friends, is what we must remember. Christ is our Sabbath. Christ is our rest. And we are never commanded anywhere in the new covenant to remember those truths on any specific day of the week. But I think I know this congregation well enough. If you were like me, then you remember your deliverance from your bondage of sin. How often? All the time. Do we just take one day of the week, Sunday, and say, oh yeah, thank you, Jesus? If you're like me, every time I think about it, it's thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Monday morning, thank you, Jesus. Friday night, thank you, Jesus. Saturday, after I get done mowing, thank you, Jesus. But we don't wait till a certain day of the week to thank Jesus for what he did for our deliverance. And every day that I remember my deliverance, I have that opportunity to rest. The work's been done. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, I'm going to try to read that here real quick. Galatians 4, 8 through 11 says this. And Paul's talking to the Galatians, who are mostly a Jewish congregation. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? What weak and miserable principles are you talking about, Paul? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. Even the Galatian church was falling into this. They wanted to continue to practice all those festivals and those new moon celebrations and those Sabbaths. And Paul's saying, you don't have to do it no more. Our rest is in Christ. So, is there a repeat of that in the New Covenant? No, there isn't. But let's ask that second and more important question. Has the Sabbath for a Christian been changed to a Sunday? Many, if not most, Christians believe that it has. And maybe a lot of you in here do too. So where do we go to find the answer to that? Well, we go to Scripture, right? That's where all the answers are at. So what do we see the early church doing? And there's four more scriptures I have listed in your bulletin there. The first one's from Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. It says this, and I'm not going to read all that, but it says this. The believers were meeting daily, and daily they were praying, daily they were being taught, daily they were breaking bread, daily they were giving. They were doing all these things on a daily basis when they were meeting together in Acts 2, 42. Then we go up to Acts chapter 20. Paul's on his third missionary journey. Verse 7 tells us that Paul and his companions gathered together the first day of the week to break bread. Well, that sounds kind of familiar. The first day of the week to break bread. Okay, maybe we're going somewhere here now. In 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul directs the churches to put aside their giving the first day of the week. And why does he tell them that? Obviously, the churches were gathering together the first day of the week. And Hebrews 10:25 encourages believers to continue to meet together regularly. Keep on meeting together. And I think that the first day of the week was chosen as a day of gathering because that was the day that Jesus rose from the grave. So no more was the Sabbath a day, but now we have this thing called a Sunday, the first day of the week. However, the only thing the scriptures ever tell us is that they gathered together. The first day of the week, Sunday, was never designated as a new Sabbath day, or even a day of rest, or even a day to refrain from working. The most we see in the scriptures anywhere in the New Testament is that Sunday was a day for believers to gather together to worship God and to break bread. But even that practice isn't even a command. When can Christians gather together to worship God? Anytime. Well, we're going to do it again this Wednesday night. We could do it Tuesday morning. We could do it Friday night. We could do it Saturdays right after I mow. We could. But most Christians still stay with what tradition? They stay with the tradition of gathering to worship on a Sunday, as do we. And we gather together on Sunday mornings, as do most Christian churches. But the command, it never commands us to do that. It's just what traditionally we do. But it never commands us anywhere that Sunday is a day of rest. One last thought on this fourth commandment. Right now, you might be thinking this. Mike, I'm sorry. I believe that no work should be done on a Sunday. That's the way I was brought up. That's what our church teaches. And that's what I believe. And I say this. That's fine. That's okay. It's okay. Let's finish studying this fourth commandment by looking at Romans 14, verses 5 and 6. The entire 14th chapter of Romans, what a great chapter that is. It talks about something called disputable matters. I might think one way about something and Kay might think a different way about something. The example I gave, I did a three-week sermon series on disputable matters, and the topic that I brought up was this. Me and my friend Paul, we had a disagreement about listening to rock and roll music. We were both Christians, and my friend Paul said this, I just can't listen to that rock and roll music any longer. And I said, I have no problem listening to rock and roll music. Was he right or was I right? Yes. It was a disputable matter. He needs to do what he feels is right. I need to do what I feel is right. So what does Romans 14, 5 and 6 say? One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. So where does the Sabbath fall for a Christian today? Where does Sunday fall for a Christian today? I'll just ask this question. What have you concluded in your mind about working, doing work on a Sunday? And whatever you have concluded, that's what you need to go with, because there isn't any new covenant command one way or another. What about the Sabbath from sundown on Friday through sundown on Saturday? Well, there's a whole group of people called the Seventh-day Adventists. They claim that that is their Sabbath and they will not work during that time. That's what they are convinced of. So let me just simply ask this. What are you convinced of doing or not doing? Whatever that is, then do it. But I'll say this. Don't judge others when they disagree with you. And don't let others judge you if they disagree with you. Did I violate the fourth commandment by mowing my lawn on a Sunday? No, I did not. And I promise you, I didn't mow yesterday because it rained. Guess what I'll be doing today? I'll be mowing. And when I mow today, I'll be mowing unto the Lord. With everything that we do unto the Lord, right? I'll mow unto the Lord. And if you're sitting here saying, or if you're listening to this on the internet and saying, well, sorry, Mike, I just can't do work on Sunday. I'm fine. That's fine. Don't do work on a Sunday. But some people, I got to say this. This is not in my notes. So I'll take my glasses off. There are some people that are so convinced, like my neighbor, that a Christian does not do work on a Sunday. That anybody should not do work on a Sunday. That's why he came on over and scolded me. Mike, you're a pastor. Why are you doing work on a Sunday? And they want to infiltrate their belief system over everybody. But yet, they have no problem going to a restaurant later on that day and making somebody serve them. Oh, those hypocrites. I'm just thinking out loud here. We can't judge. It doesn't make any difference. The fourth commandment was given by God to the Israelites. It's now null and void to us today because it's not repeated anywhere in the New Covenant writings. It even tells us that whatever we want to do with it, we can do with it. And it's the only one of the Ten Commandments that is not repeated into the New Testament. But there is a new covenant teaching that reflects the old covenant commandment. And I think you'll agree with me on this. I will rest and I will remember that Christ is my Lord and that he is my deliverer and that the worst thing that could ever happen to a human being is never going to happen to me because he delivered me from my sin. And I can't wait to a Sunday to thank him for that. That's something that we need to be thanking the Lord for all the time. My rest is found in him. He is my Sabbath. And I hope he's yours too. Let's pray.